Well, as I said, something very strange could be going on in Nome, Alaska. Linda's been working on the story, and she'll fill you in when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now, Linda, this story is a very strange one, and you've been putting a lot of work on it. Yes. I'm going to just let you go ahead and explain it.
Well, thank you. And the region that we're talking about is actually between Mount McKinley, north of Anchorage, and Nome, Alaska, to the west. And so keep that in your mind. And go to earthfiles.com to see my map that I'm showing these areas. And I'm showing also the DD-214 discharge information photograph about this former U.S. Army counterintelligence guy who contacted me a week after I got back from Göbekli Tepe. And, you know, I reported about how there were 30 acres on a hill there of limestone pillars placed in circles 12,000 years ago.
That's right.
And then were buried completely over about 11,000 years ago, 1,000 years after they were set up. And in this Turkey trip, we also visited mysterious Mount Nemrut north of Göbekli Tepe, and that's one of the six parts that I did that shows you that the upper 198 feet of that mountain is completely artificially covered with the same size stones. I even have a photograph. It's so remarkable and weird. How was this done? How were 200 feet on the top of a whole huge mountain put there artificially? But the issue is, what is behind the phenomenon of burying ancient structures? Was there another burial of a pyramid larger than Cheops in western Alaska between Mount McKinley, north of Anchorage, and Nome to the west? Well, on June 22nd, a week after I got back from Turkey, I received an email from a retired U.S. Army counterintelligence warrant officer, and I have been given permission by him to use his full name tonight on Coast and in Earth Files. It is Douglas Alan Mutchler. And he was writing about yet another alleged underground burial. This one, a large pyramid-shaped structure supposedly found by seismologists and geophysicists studying the Earth's crust during the May 22, 1992 nuclear detonation test underground at Lanpur in China of a 1 megaton bomb. And at Earth Files, I also have the May 22nd New York Times article about this. It was 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time when this explosion in China went off. This was not pleasing to the United States that China did this. But this man that I'm talking about tonight has a story that he heard on Anchorage television from scientists who said when they learned that China was going to detonate this 1 megaton underground nuclear device at Lanpur, that they wanted to use this to study the Earth's crust. Now, where this story is going, you're going to hear from him in his own words, but I want to just go into a few more details.
Okay.
I asked him to send me his DD-214 discharge information, a military photograph, information about his service as a chief warrant to officer in U.S. Army counterintelligence, and he did. He mailed me the DD-214, which shows that on March 10, 1981, he entered active duty in the U.S. Army with basic training at Fort McClellan, Alabama. He was requested because of his scores, at high aptitude scores on putting things like machines, thinking about them in his head, and disassembling them. He has that gift. And he was requested to join advanced training for what is called, quote, 97 Bravo 10, close quote, experimental counterintelligence unit that they were putting together then because the Army wanted to increase the number of human intelligence agents known as HUMINT. And the advanced training was at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which is the U.S. Army Intelligence Center. And all of these things are listed in the documents that he sent me. Now, at Earth Files, As I said, I have the May 22nd New York Times news report headline, The Chinese set off their biggest nuclear explosion. And that was May 22nd, 1992. Well, 3 years later, this man, Doug Mutchler, gets out of Fort Richardson in Anchorage, Alaska, on a physical disability charge. I have that entire document. So we're talking about a story of a man who serves from 1981 to 1995, his entire Army career. He is in counterintelligence, but he doesn't become a warrant officer until he goes into this special training in 1989. Well, we talked on the phone in depth. I wanted to hear from him in his own words about how he had come to learn about the China underground detonation and the alleged study of the crust by scientists that allegedly revealed a pyramid structure larger than Cheops that would be reported 6 months later on Channel 13, the NBC affiliate in Anchorage, with graphics, animation, scientific analysis of this large discovered structure. Now, Doug said that he was in the Fort Richardson orderly room with 39 other men in the last week of November or first week of December 1992. That's as close as he can make the time come down. When they all listened with amazement, talking to each other about this in-depth TV news report that this extraordinary large pyramid had been discovered underground in Alaska because of the Chinese detonation. And then he went to his room to put his VCR together because he wanted to tape the news program, and it didn't come on. So he called his dad down in Fairborn, Ohio, who listens to the morning, the noon, and the night news, and his dad said nothing had come on in the United States. So Doug went to the TV station the next day to pay, if he needed to, for a copy of the news story. He just wanted to find out where was this and to find out more. And he encountered stonewalling by the station manager, who told him that they had never broadcast such a story. But it doesn't end there.
We're going to have to get into the tape pretty soon.
Yeah, he knew he was being lied to at that point. So we set 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday, July 17th, to do a formal interview. And I get nothing but this phone number has been disconnected 3 times. And I send him an email, and I hear nothing from him for 48 hours, worrying about what has happened. And on Friday, July 20th, I finally get a phone call, and he was worried about me. He said, I didn't know what happened. Why didn't we hear from you? And I explained what happened on my end. And he said, I was trying to call your phone, and it kept just ringing, but I have voicemail. And I had voicemail through all those days. And he had no knowledge that there would be any disconnect recording because his family was receiving phone calls on the same number I called. So he told me, then someone is specifically targeting your phone number and my phone number. The government can do that. I know they can do that. They can do anything they want to in this digital age. Frustrated that such an electronic manipulation of our phones had been done to block us, we turned around then and recorded a full interview. So here now is Douglas Allen Mutchler with this amazing story from his home in Fairborn, Ohio.
Well, as a past intelligence operative and knowing how the government works, they're covering something. But something's up there, and somebody's hiding it.
Now let's go forward with the story that appears to be so sensitive that extra effort is being made to block us. So now, would you go back, as I understand, that you are working counterintelligence as a warrant officer, CW2, and that you were in Anchorage, Alaska, at Fort Richardson, and we are beginning this story in 1989.
I asked to go to Alaska as my first duty station as a warrant officer because my dad was stationed there, and he loved the place. I went there, and when I arrived, one of the first things I did was go and get maps because I wanted to prospect. So So I went to the GSA office, and I picked up every map that made up Alaska. They were the Joint Operation Graphic ground maps, scale 1 to 250,000. And it covered the whole bedroom wall and the ceiling. I mean, these are really detailed maps. And I got the one of them that was on the western portion of the state, and it was whited out. There was a whole section about the size of a Christmas card, and it said, this area not surveyed as of this date. And the first thing I thought was, that's ridiculous. I mean, they've had the Earth mapped since like the 60s. And I know Alaska was mapped out right after World War II. But anyways, it didn't make sense for this to be whited out. They're hiding something. In my mind, what I was into, counterintelligence, there's something there. But I had no need to know. Then I'm out processing 1992. And we're sitting there. It was in late November, early December. And I'm sitting there in the orderly room with about 40 other people. And we were waiting for the last formation of the day. And we're watching the TV. A news program was on. And they started talking about this Chinese detonation of an underground nuclear bomb that was set off earlier that year.
May 22nd, 1992.
Okay. And they were talking about that, how big it was. And then there was a byline. And the story was about geologists around the world had been informed through the UN, because China had told the UN they were going to do this. And so these geologists got together, and they said, let's get the best recordings of the Earth's crust and mantle using the vibrations from this explosion. And what they found in this byline story was under Alaska, they found a pyramid bigger than the one in Egypt. They said they didn't know whether it was solid or hollow. They couldn't tell that, but they had the distinct outline of a pyramid.
And this was supposed to be where?
That whited out area, the area that showed on the TV, were south of Mount McKinley. And it was towards the west, near the Nome area. There's an area there that was whited out. Quite a large area, really. And when I saw the news program, I mean, it just in my mind's eye, I could see it just right where the whiteout area was. Well, I knew that the whole world has been surveyed. So why was this whited out? It don't make any sense. I was like, oh, man, I got to get this tonight. So I went home, and I got a recorder and set it up. No story. I called home, the lower 48, to my dad. And he religiously, my dad is a TV hound, especially a news hound, morning, noon, evening, and 11 o'clock. He watches them all. He heard nothing about it, not a thing. I mean, it's a big story, bigger than the one in Egypt, and it's not being covered in lower 48.
Meaning as if either there was some block on the story getting into the United States, or the story had been picked up only by the local Channel 13 station in Anchorage.
That's the only thing I could come up with myself. But thing is, I went the next day to the station and asked if I could get a copy of that story. And I was talking to the general manager asking for it. And he said, what story? We didn't run no story about no pyramid. And I was like, sure you did. There's 40 of us guys sitting there watched it on TV. And he denied it ever running. And I was just perplexed. Knowing what I know, I thought to myself, this guy's been got to. He's covering. I mean, it's the only thing that could be.
And what you mean is that the United States government, when push comes to shove, and the Department of Defense says that something is sensitive, they can interact with management in TV stations or networks and say, don't run that story.
They do it all the time.
Yes.
That's a matter of record. So I was walking out, and there was a technician, and he was sitting there staring at me. And the way he acted, he's like, come here, you know. And I walked over, and I said, can you help me with this? He goes, man, we ran that, but I can't get it for you. It's gone. I can't help you. But it ran. I was mad. I went back to the office in formation that night. I told everybody what I'd found out, and the guys in the unit were like, wait a minute, we watched it. What do you mean they didn't run it? You know, the same thing I was saying. So I have tried to find that news program, and somebody out there has to have been recording their kid's ball game or wrestling match or something, you know, and they've got it. Somebody has to have it. And I'd love to get it because I want to find out where those grid coordinates are.
What happened about a year later in 1993 when you went to Fort Meade?
Okay, I was going through a lot of operations during this period of time. I was a commander at Fort Leonard Wood. That was a small detachment. And when I was working on a book for doing background investigations, and then we had another thing that we were working on terrorism around that area. It was a thing we were working with the FBI. So part of my job was to go to Fort Meade, where they have storehouses of information. I'll just put it that way. I don't want to get into too much.
Everybody listening, and myself included, when they hear Fort Meade, they automatically think of the National Security Agency. Is that where you were?
No. And I don't want to get into the building or the organization. It's a building that is an SCI type of building, Special Compartment and Information. I don't want to get into the name of the building or who runs it, but it is a military thing. But it's just a big warehouse where they have rows and rows and rows and rows of combination safes.
So it's an archive for highly classified sensitive material.
Right. I was looking for what I was looking for. And then when I was done, I thought, maybe they have something about this pyramid. So I went to the, I guess it would be like a librarian, and I asked him if he had anything on archaeological sites. I didn't say pyramid, but I said archaeological sites or underground facilities in Alaska. He said, well, if we do, it might be in container X, Y, or Z. So I went over there, and I was just looking around, and I really didn't find anything saying pyramid, but I grabbed a couple of Alaska, like two different safes. And I had just sat down, and these two guys came. I could, you know, you can feel someone standing behind you. And these two goons go, hey, you don't have a need to know for that information. And I turned around and said, what do you mean? And he was like, you don't have a need to know. You're going to have to leave. I said, well, I'm just looking for something. We know what you're looking for. And the other guy, somehow in that conversation, he goes, they don't want us messing with them up there anymore. They don't want you messing with them up there. They don't want us anybody messing with them.
Up there.
And the guy who was standing with him, the bigger guy, his head just shot over, and he looked at his partner, and you could tell he was just glaring at him. And I was, like, flustered because I was thinking, what did he just tell me? They don't want any of us messing with them anymore?
Up there, right? And up there,
yeah.
From where you were at Fort Meade in Maryland, would certainly be up there, you could imply.
Alaska, because the folder I had was Alaska.
And there's more to this story, and Linda will have it when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And our special guest, of course, Linda Moulton Howe, earthfiles.com. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with her, conversations with Linda, but more of this strange story in Nome, Alaska, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Strange story indeed, Linda. I'll let you pick it up. Go ahead.
And we can just pick up sort of where we left off, because there is a lot to this story, but one of the questions in my mind is why, what provoked him to get in touch with me now? Part of the answer is that he heard me talking about Göbekli Tepe being buried, Mount Nemrut being buried, and here was this large pyramid buried. But listen now, as we could continue with Doug Mutchler, but I also went to a physicist who has worked for Lawrence Livermore Labs doing what? Studying the Earth's crust when there have been underground nuclear explosions after Doug Mutchler now.
And the question is, who is them and exactly what's up there? And why would this TV broadcast about a pyramid larger than Cheops found between Mount McKinley and Nome be off limits to anybody in the world knowing?
Right. You know, when I first thought of this, I was thinking archaeologically. You know, this was underground, so it must have been covered over by the Ice Age. And I was thinking, God, I wonder what's in there. You know, it might have the capstone still. But when this guy talked about they, my whole mind started going, who are they? What am I stepping into here? It stuck with me.
And what are they doing in Alaska if it's true that there's some sort of an underground pyramid? Whose pyramid? Constructed when? And who has been involved underground? What does all this mean?
Well, they said it was greatly larger than the one in Egypt.
Greatly larger than, and that would be Cheops.
And the way they were talking, and that's why I want to get this program. I mean, they did a great job. They had the whole world, they had it sliced out, where it was and how big it was in proportion. I mean, this thing was huge in the proportional graph they showed. And I was like, whoa, this has got to be news. But everybody covered it up. So what's up there? And now, who's up there? You know, that's the thing that kept me trying to find somebody who could help me find this information. That's why I contacted you. There's got to be not only those guys that were in the orderly room that day, but the geologists who did that research. You know, some one of you has got to have the information about that pyramid. It's been long enough. It's been 20-some years.
You got out of the Army in November of 1995. We're talking in July of 2012. What is it that finally provoked you to seek me and others out?
My age. You know, the clock's running. It's been long enough.
You are how old in July of 2012?
55.
So at age 55, with physical disabilities, this has haunted you since November of 1992.
It has haunted me. I mean, really.
I wondered how any large pyramid-shaped structure discovered in the Earth's crust during an underground nuclear test could be hidden from seismologists and geophysicists. So I took the question to Paul Vincent, PhD, geophysicist in the College of Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Sciences at Oregon State University in Corvallis. In the 1990s, Professor Vincent studied Earth crustal changes during underground nuclear tests for Lawrence Livermore Laboratory in Berkeley, California. Here now is Professor and geophysicist Paul Vincent, PhD, from Oregon State University.
Talking about a pyramidal structure, I suspect they might be talking about some of the oil traps up there.
What would be the image that they would have used on TV if they were showing this, which this man said that he saw? Would it be ground-penetrating radar or what?
Well, it depends on how deep they're talking about, but if there's man-made structures, I would be looking at a seismic reflection profile. And those are things that oil companies do all the time. They thump the ground with a stimulation source, like a big piston that hits the ground at known frequencies. And then they have a whole string of geophones or, you know, seismometers that are strung out at known distances from their source or thumping positions. And they get seismic arrival times at each of those geophones at known distances. And they can map that travel time to depth. And so you get kind of a cross-section of what's underground that way. Ground penetrating radar is for more shallow stuff, for shallow mines or trying to find buried pipe or shallow archaeological structures. But if you want to go deeper, you use seismic reflection and seismic refraction studies with an active source, an active source being either hitting a steel plate with a sledgehammer or you have a seismic device.
Or on May 22nd, 1992, the Chinese underground test would have at least given seismologists and geophysicists some sort of reverberation through the crust to study?
Yeah, seismic waves, but not to resolve any man-made structures. When the waves arrive at seismic stations from the source, varies more in the crust than it does in the mantle. And so our biggest source of uncertainty in travel times, which is critical in locating events, is through the crust. So the reason why our nuclear tests are so valuable for understanding the crustal structure is because it's a large seismic source that is very shallow. Earthquakes happen at much deeper depths, several kilometers.
Right.
And so they're not embedded in the shallow crust like underground nuclear tests are.
And have you personally, in all of your work, ever seen a seismic profile from the Nome area because of underground nuclear tests, those kind of profiles from there?
No, you don't get profiles from teleseismic distances. The profiles are from the seismic reflection and refraction surveys that, in order to get a profile, you have to string a string of geophones or seismometers out at relatively short distances. One every 100 meters or less apart. And when we're talking about China, we're talking about a source that something like that would look like the exact same thing on an array of geophones that we'd use for doing these cross-section imaging stuff that I'm talking about. They would all look the same, so it makes no sense to do that.
And we're talking about the nuclear underground test site in China versus Nome, Alaska.
Right.
And how many miles would that be? I don't know.
China to Alaska, a few thousand miles.
From your long experience, a underground nuclear test in China and then somebody picking up a signature in Nome, Alaska, what would be typically known to geophysicists that would be the only possible data that you could learn in Nome, Alaska from an underground nuclear test at the underground test site in China?
The only information that we can get from underground nuclear test source that far away is the crustal structure between China, where the test is, and the seismic stations that pick up the signal.
And back in 1992, could we have picked up any detailed underground data from that China test in Nome, Alaska?
Sure, yes, we did.
What you're saying is if we were looking at that data, what would we see?
A seismogram. We would see a typical explosion source time function. It's an explosive source, so everywhere around that test, the rock is compressed, meaning the seismic trace goes up. That's not counting any complicated reflections and phase transitions between P waves and S waves.
And if you yourself have been in Nome, Alaska, say, looking at equipment that might have been set up by somebody to take advantage of that test, what could you have seen that might be underground in Nome, Alaska or in that area?
Nothing. You cannot use teleseismic data to image something man-made that's buried shallow underneath you.
I don't fully understand why we wouldn't see shapes of things.
Because there's so many more things that affect the data, the seismic energy, because it's coming from such a long distance. There's so many more things in the crust that will perturb that seismic ray. By the time it gets to you in Alaska, there's the unknowns in what's affecting the propagation of that seismic ray. So it's an integrated effect of thousands of miles of rock. Any effect of any structure locally would only be observed if your station happened to be. The chances of having this supposed structure between you and the test in China, the odds would be astronomical. If you do several curved rays between the test location in China and different points in Alaska, and then you imagine this supposed pyramidal structure that's buried, then you have to draw pretty small if it's man-made. Even if you were to bury the Great Pyramid, it'd be like a tiny dot, small perturbation in the seismic data.
Geez, Linda, what a story. Is it there or not? What do you think?
Well, I'm telling you that when I finished talking with the physicist, and I'm thinking that he can't say definitively that there never has been a pyramidal shape detected in the seismograms studying the crust of the Earth, whether it was May 22nd or any other date. That's the most important takeaway, I think. He is trying to say to all of us that, and you, I have a seismogram that I'm going to put up in part two at Earth Files that he sent me so that we could see what these squiggly lines look like to a very educated geophysicist who can look at them and look for perturbations. That's the key, perturbations in these waves as they would come in the case of China all the way to between Nome and Mount McKinley. How many thousands of miles? I asked him that. He's not sure. He said in the interview, you know, we're talking about a big distance. But there is no, so far, there has been no exclusion on his part about whether or not there could have been a pyramid picked up. That's number one. Number two, I have talked with the news director at Channel 13 in Anchorage. We've talked two or three times. She's very nice, and she said, Linda, the problem is we may have 20-year-old videotapes down in the basement. We have no archivist. We have no budget to do archives. And if that tape is down there, she said, I don't know how we're going to find it if it is there, and that all the people currently working at Channel 13 in Anchorage have been there less than 3 years or no more than 3 years. And I have another archivist in another station who is looking. Doug Mutchler is doing his own thing, trying to find any of the people who were with him in that orderly room in the last week of November of 1992, going into the first week of December of 1992. And he said there were 40 of us in that orderly room. And if anybody out there remembers this, remembers the TV news program on Channel 13, please, you can get in touch with me on or off the record. I always honor requests for confidentiality, but I think that this story is important enough that if anybody out there from the Fort Richardson has more information or from any other source, as Doug said, the scientists, if there were scientists that were studying the crust and they were using that Chinese detonation on May 22nd, somebody out there must have the images that they used in the TV news story. They must have some information. And to get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com, think of a reporter who files news about the Earth, earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And to show you what kind of feedback, George, that I have been getting just since posting the headline this week that I was going to do this story on Coast, I got a fascinating email about a video called The Revelation of the Pyramids, allegedly a 2011 video, in which here is the subject matter: that there is a global median line that encompasses a great deal of mysterious megaliths on Earth from Giza to Nazca to Ur to Easter Island. And that he said that I can't match the Nome, Alaska to Mount McKinley. And remember, this is in the middle, the white area that was whited out on the USGS map that Doug Mutchler found when he first got to Fort Richardson and wanted to do prospecting, is in the area that when he was at the Fort Meade location and the TV set, that what we're talking about is that this whited out area was exactly where that whited out area was, or where the pyramid was shown on the Channel 13 news. And he's saying in this email that this documentary about median lines connecting these ancient sites on the Earth, but he can't say that there's anything in this video specifically about Alaska. But he said, quote, this is from this video. Just as every point along the equator is 6,215 miles from both the North and the South Poles, every point along the line of ancient sites is 6,215 miles from two axis points on the Earth. The axis point in the Northern Hemisphere is near the southeastern coast of Alaska, and then gives some coordinates. And this comes out to be in the Russell Ford on the map, which is, again, not between Nome and Mount McKinley, but it's fascinating to me that anybody has done any kind of a grid pattern and done a video about it, and that Alaska would come up in any grid points. So right now, as we are going over this fascinating story tonight on Coast to Coast and at Earth Files, and tomorrow I'm going to unfold part two with some of these images and put out a lot of information so that you all can contact me in whatever comfortable way you want. I think, George, that you can tell from listening to Doug Mutchler that he is an honest guy who is haunted as people become haunted by mysteries that they can't solve. And he's reaching out to me, a reporter, saying, is there any way that you can find this video? That's what we first talked about. And then you confront the problems of budgets and television stations that don't have archivists, and that 20 years ago is the date of this broadcast, and how frustrating it is that we can't get our fingers on this video, and it may have been erased, as he said the technician told him at the station, which then goes to the even more profound question. Why? Who would have interfered with Channel 13 20 years ago, telling the general manager, erase, do not rebroadcast the story about an underground pyramidal structure being found in western Alaska because of the Chinese nuclear detonation in May of 1992 and scientists who studied the Earth's crust?
Assuming all this is real, there's a pyramid down there somewhere. What's the significance of why it's there? Why Nome, Alaska, Linda?
Well, it's not Nome. Nome would be the western boundary. Remember, Doug,
but that region,
between Mount McKinley, which is basically straight north of Anchorage quite a ways, and then if you went 90 degrees from Mount McKinley and a little bit, probably northwest a little bit, it's almost straight west, you come to Nome. And the region then where he said that on that first map that he had seen, that the region that was whited out the size of a Christmas card, and I think of a Christmas card of being something like 4x6 or 7x9. I mean, that would be a large white patch on a map. That when you look at the map that I put up at Earth Files, you've got Anchorage, and then you've got Mount McKinley, and over to Nome. But in between, Nome is on Norton Sound, and there's this huge, gigantic area of the Caillou Mountains and I'm not sure if it's Kuskokwim Mountains, but there are mountain ranges huge between Mount McKinley and Nome.
Let's come back. We'll take more of the phone calls with you, Linda, and a few more questions when we come right back.